in honor of the Grammys last night and seeing my hometown friend, Mickey Guyton, and also good friend from being in Nashville for so many years, she performed her amazing song, Black Like Me, and it was so powerful. Mickey has always used her voice as a beacon of change, a beacon of hope, and she is so incredible at just spreading messages that need to be heard in such a powerful, loving way. So I want to revisit this conversation I had with her this summer and my other dear friend, Amara Hall, where we're talking about everything going on in the world. Podcast, just to be talking about what's going on in the world right now. And I have Amara Hall joining me again, my bestie, and Mickey Guyton, another one of my lovely dear friends.
We played basketball against each other in junior high.
I cannot believe that. That is hilarious to me.
The story about that.
Same.
Do you know? Caroline, so the reason why I even went to Waco Christian School, private school, was because my neighborhood subdivision, China Springs, they didn't want black people in their school at that time.
China Springs is the name of a real place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Are you serious?
And that's where I'm dead serious. And that's why my mom worked as a teacher's aide there, and my brother and sisters, we all went there. And so we couldn't afford tuition. So my mom was like the teacher's aide from 12th through pre-K.
Wow. I did not know that, Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, yeah. Man.
It's heavy.
Mickey, like, you put out this song called Black Like Me that I was listening to on, I've been listening to on repeat. And like, geez, I mean, this is really heavy. Like, we've, yes. And I was telling Amara, like, I think a lot of white people are apologizing. I am sorry that I have been so ignorant to my role. Like, I thought being non-racist was all that my job was, and that was just given. Like, I was never a racist right. person. So I just thought, that's it. Like, of course I'm non-racist, but it's so much okay. more. And it's important to be educated, and there's so much to learn. And so, gosh, I mean, Mickey, I'd love to start with your song, talking about Black Like Me.
Yeah, well, you know, it's no, I've been in the country music industry for almost 10 years. And
that 10-year overnight success, here we go.
Yeah. And I've just seen a lot within the industry. And it's so funny, so many times we get so comfortable in our cycles, in our everyday life, and it's like, it just needs to be this way because it's been that way since I can remember. And being comfortable isn't necessarily the best thing. You know, it's been very painful to see videos of black men murdered by police officers and black men mistreated or black people mistreated by not so good people. And it's a lot of times, I mean, you know, Mara and I've had discussions a lot of where I'm feeling like the world is crumbling around me and everybody else seems like everything's okay. And so because of that, I've kept my mouth shut about it. But when I wrote Black Like Me, it wasn't for this moment at all. Like, I wrote this song over a year ago at a writer's retreat, and it was a song that was just supposed to heal me. And I had gone through to a place in my life. I got into a place in my life where I was really just trying to write my honest truth and quit writing other people's songs and writing songs about a black woman, because I am. And I wrote that song just for my own healing. And after we wrote it, I wrote it with two white guys and a black woman, by the way. So two black girls, two white guys, two people from the UK, two people from America, writing such a polarizing song. And when we finished it, we were like, there's no way anybody's going to ever let me release this. Nobody's going to receive it. And this could be the biggest song of my career, but it could make some people upset. And that was really heavy. So we kind of just put it away, but I still pushed for it and pushed for it to be a part of my album. And over the last few months of seeing people hurting from and dying from COVID, and seeing Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd killed before our very eyes, essentially, there was no perfect time for this. I would release this song to hopefully heal people's hearts on both sides and bridge an unnecessary gap between two races of people.
It's a beautiful, beautiful song. I was actually just, while you were speaking, I was thinking about, you know, Black Like Me, and I was thinking about the moment I realized that there was no one who looked like me on Music Row. And I was actually thinking about the first time we met. And
I remember that.
I will never forget it, because I was with Low Cash at a celebrity softball game or something, right?
Need Hope.
And I remember, you know, just kind of like bebopping along and like walking in the dugout, and I saw Mickey and Mickey saw me, and we were both just like, hi, hello, there you are, you know? And it was just like, you know, there's just this unspoken thing, I feel like, that happens when people of color see each other in typically not diverse spaces. You know, when you see a person of color, you're just like, just like, come here, love on you. So yeah.
What? And that was a really hard time for me in that day. I was feeling very low in that space. I felt very insecure that day. Mm. I felt like nobody saw me, and a lot of times they didn't. I was on a team, and besides, you know, Kristen from, not very many people really spoke to me in the dugout. And I felt really, really alone. So when I saw you and you did see me, it was really, really, it meant a lot to me. I've been in many situations since I was a little girl where I was the only Black person in my class, mm-hmm. in a lot of spaces. So I'm used to being the only one. As far as what it's like to be a Black woman in country music, I think I can only go off of examples that I've experienced. First and foremost, I want to preface this by saying that there are so many good people within the country music industry.
Absolutely.
And there's so much acceptance and love. And what ends up happening, it's like Caroline, what she said, it's like you are anti-racist, but a lot of times people are quietly anti-racist. But the fact is, the matter is nobody's thinking about it. I have been in situations where I have sang on major stages where I saw men holding up the Confederate flag. And I would have to sing in front of that. I got invited to be a part of a music video shoot amidst the time that my husband had sepsis and had to have an emergency surgery or else he would have died. And 4 days after a surgery, I found out I was invited to this video shoot. So I spent $600 on a ticket. I flew my sister-in-law down to Los Angeles so she could take care of her brother while I went to Nashville really quick to be a part of this video, only to arrive and it's taken off my calendar. It's deleted from my calendar and I had been disinvited. And okay, fine, you don't know me, I'm not in this space, but the fact that this song was celebrating women but they disinvited the only African American woman in the video. And fine, screw me, don't even care about me. But the fact is, if you're going to be singing about women, where are brown and black women present in this? Where are body, like, women that aren't a size two? It's about being aware of other people around you. And a lot of times I wasn't considered, and that was a tough, that was tough to experience.
You know what's crazy? And I'm gonna clap while I speak. You just really get used to that's the way it is. And honestly, you know I've voiced it like here and there, but you really cannot fully articulate it until you see someone else who's also a person of color in country radio, and then you're able to have those discussions. Like Mickey and I, we have, you know, 6-page text conversations all the time about stuff, or like, you know, she'll call me, and girl, and did you, and yes, I know. But it's just like, you know, it's just accepted. Like, that's just the way it is. And like, once people get to know me and they understand that I am a Renaissance woman, and you cannot put me in a box. You cannot put me in a box. I am an artist. I work on promotion teams. I'm a poet. I'm, you know, like a teacher. I am absolutely 100% like a giver, and want to teach what I know to my community. And at the same time, you know, want to receive it back too. Like, so I feel like there's definitely a lot of times where you don't feel seen. But I just keep coming back to this idea. You just get to a point where you're like, okay, well, this is the way it is. I will do what I have to do to get to where I want to get. And, you know, hopefully at some point, you know, people accept me. I went to the March on Thursday, which was organized by Teens for Equality. And they were, you know, of course, lifting up Black teens, and we heard from white teens, and we heard from Black teens, and just some beautiful, you know, spoken word. And, you know, 20,000 people showed up on Thursday. It was amazing in Nashville. It's incredible. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. People were handing out sandwiches, Gatorade, water, hand sanitizer, mask. It was so, so beautiful. Shout out to Teens for Equality. But you bring up a really great point, because one of the best signs I saw was you can no longer say that you didn't know Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're at this point where you can no longer just say, oh, I didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's this kind of like, you know, deflection that I'm seeing a lot right now, just deflection, that I would really like to see rectified in the country music world. Of we can no longer say you just didn't think about it. You know, I didn't really think about how this might come off, you know, or, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way. Like, okay, but we have to think about other people, you know, like we have to think about how other humans who don't look like us are going to receive things, you know? Right. And, I do also want to second that the reason why I stay in Nashville is because of the incredible amount of love, mm-hmm. support, encouragement, creativity, thinking outside the box. You know, we have so many people who are creating their own vision for their life, you know, and not subscribing to But now it's time for us to really, really be inclusive. You know, something I learned while I was on set at the sister video, you know, Mickey had invited a group of diverse women to be a part of her music video. And I have been on so cool. And I've been on set at countless videos, and I have never ever in my life experienced what I experienced that day, which is just a mutual respect for each and every person that walked through that door, no matter if they were a size 2, a size 12, you know, all shades, you know. And it was just like, it was a really, really beautiful representation, you know,
of what Nashville can be.
And and everyone there, you know, is from Nashville. You know, yeah, it was incredible. I'd love to see. So it's like, how do we do that? You know what I mean? And like, Caroline, I feel like you're very courageous.
Yeah.
For doing what you're doing right now, because I know there are probably some people who do not agree with you. And you've probably got unfollowed by some people. But I think the majority of us who are truly here to make a difference, and we believe in human to human connection and love conquers fear, right? Love over hate every day of the week. I really, really commend you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say that I don't feel courageous at all. And I honestly don't care if people unfollow me, because to me, this is about love. And like, that's the bottom line. And I also want to second what both of y'all said. I also love the country music industry. And I think for the most part, people are really great in this industry, and people really have great hearts. And that's why we're all a part of it, is because it has it's a really beautiful community. And like, I feel like people are trying to be good people. Amen. We're at a new level where it's just like, this is a conversation that has to happen. I just want to keep educating myself and keep continuing this conversation and using my platform to spread awareness, because it's time. Like, this can't be happening anymore.
It can't happen. We all have children, you have a daughter. I have children. I want to have children one day. Yeah. And I want the world to be a better place for them. I want the world to be a better place for your daughter. Mm-hmm. And if there's any book that you guys want to read, Black Like Me, which is where I got the title from, is written by a man named John Howard Griffin. He was a white man who in the 1960s, through radiation, dyed his skin darkened his skin to look like a black man, and then went to the deep South during the Jim Crow era to see what it was like to be a black man in America.
Wow.
And that book is those words are coming from someone who is white, who you can read and see what he felt. And even just Googling that and looking at the quotes that he said are so dead on and right for 2020. It's insane. And the reality of it is we all have to step outside of ourselves and see other people. The world has seen white people our entire lives. I've seen white people on cereal boxes and magazines, on television, in Barbie dolls, in every aspect of my life. And white is normalized, but for some reason, not all other races are as normalized. And we have to see each other, really see each other. Yes, we all are different, but see each other and try to see each other's experience.
I mean, this is so basic, and I know y'all are going to agree with me, but like, it's just a pigment tone. Like, we are all people. Like, I'm not even going to be this naive to say, why is this even happening? Cause this is so deep rooted, but like, I just can't wrap my head around it. That which is just a different shade of color. Like, we're all people.
Can't wrap our head around it either, girl. You ain't alone. There are black roots within country music. Like, the banjo was created in Africa. in Africa. When you walk into the Country Music Hall of Fame, the first thing that you see are slaves on their back porch playing and singing. So this country music is deep rooted in the Black culture. It's within there. So it is important for us. It is our responsibility as artists, as people within the industry, to find diversity and create a diverse space within our businesses, within our artists. And I think that can also help change.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you guys as my friends, like, allowing me to start this conversation. Namara, you were saying earlier, like, thank you for having it, but like, I'm saying thank y'all for telling me that it's okay to have these conversations, because I think that is one of the big problems that a lot of white people have felt, is they feel like they're gonna say something wrong or do something.
I was gonna say, everybody's like afraid to make a mistake, you know what I mean? Like, I would rather have you say something that sounds dumb. Like, here's the thing, you are gonna make a mistake. You are gonna say something dumb. You are gonna be corrected in love. Like, that's what we have to still have the conversation. Like,
Correct in love is the key.
Exactly. I've had so many people reach out to me and they're just like, well, I'm just anxious because I don't want to. And it's like, I understand that, but what's on the other side of fear is where we want to be. You know what I mean? So like, this is really a moment of pushing through your personal fear. I sound dumb. I don't know what to say. I want to say something, but I don't know what to, like, say it. Just start saying it. Start talking about it.
And I think the most important thing that everyone can do right now is, first of all, educate yourselves. Like, really dive into Black history, not just the Black history we learned in high school, which was like, if you go and take an African American history class, what you see is it's hard. Like, I left my African American history class every day just gutted, because it was a lot of hard. It was very hard information. But what you can do right now is to publicly denounce racism. You don't have to. Publicly denouncing racism doesn't make you for riots, doesn't make you for looting. Publicly denouncing racism is a basic human, I don't know the right word to say, but it's a basic thing. Like, I know there are so many people that don't agree with racism and publicly say it.
Yeah.
I denounce racism. We are all the same. That alone.
Right. I want to read to you guys some of the, because I wrote down some of my favorite signs. I want to read some of these to you guys because I think you'll enjoy them. People are looking for, you know, ways to phrase this. Use white supremacy to end white supremacy. You can choose to look away, but never again say you didn't know Black Lives Matter. How many weren't filmed? All mothers were summoned when George Floyd called out to his mama. Make racism wrong again. Racial injustice is the global pandemic. Mm. And then lastly, Daddy changed the world. Gianna Floyd.
Mm. Can I address something about the All Lives Matter as well?
Yes.
Well, it's really hard when you hear people say all lives matter in response to people saying Black Lives Matter. And someone said made the best point I saw on Instagram when there was a shooting in Vegas and everybody blacked out their social media pages with Vegas Strong. Nobody was responding to that saying all lives matter, you know? And, or when you saw the shootings in Charleston and there was the Charleston Strong, nobody was responding with all lives matter to those. And so when Black people are saying Black Lives Matter, we, and someone says, well, all lives matter, we know that. And we absolutely agree that Black lives matter. Your life matters, Caroline. Your daughter's life matters. Michael matters. People in country music, white people in country music that are singing country music matter. But when we're saying that Black lives matter, all we're saying is Black lives matter too. That's all we're saying. And there is a system, there is a problem. I'll send you the names of a lot of Black lives that were taken by law enforcement. And there are children in that list. This is a dangerous problem because there are people scared of Black people. And that's what we're saying. We're just saying that Black lives matter too, and we need your help. That's all we're saying.
That's a lot. That's,
I know. I've been like, Black lives matter. It is a complete sentence, you know?
And you could put a two at the end of that, but mm-hmm. that doesn't have the same effect as when you see Black Lives Matter. We're just stating it. Mm-hmm.
This is something else that's been floating around, kind of echoing what you're saying, is like, if there's, you're on in a neighborhood and there's all these houses in a neighborhood and all those houses matter, but one's on fire, you're going to go tend to the one that's on fire.
Yeah.
Like, this, it doesn't mean those other houses don't matter. Like, this is, this conversation, this movement wow. is on fire. Like, it is time for a change. It's been going on for so long that it's just enough. It's just, let's be done with this already. Let's just get to the point where we don't have to have peaceful protests, where we don't have to, where injustice isn't happening anymore. Let's just get to the point where that's over. Like, can we just like put the fire out and make equality just the way it is?
Absolutely. And I want to go even deeper with what you're saying. Seeing the fire within the industry for Black lives, I hope that this same music industry has the same fire for women in country music.
But you are a trailblazer. And I will say this, Mickey, you have turned all the heads of everyone in country music, and you have from the beginning. Admire you for that. Always never being shy to like use your voice and your platform.
I appreciate that so much. And the older I've gotten and the more my husband has shown me that as well, I realize the responsibility in that. Yes. And I can't keep my mouth shut for marginalized people. And that includes white women within a white industry. Mm-hmm. And yes, we are talking about Black lives, but I want everybody that is listening to know that I advocate for right, period.
Yes.
I hope people can hear and see my heart, that I am not some angry, mad Black woman. If anything, I am optimistic and I'm fired up and I want equality for every single one of us.
Amen.
What, Mickey, you were saying earlier, like how to like start being the change. What are, if you both could say, here are some steps for immediate change, what would they be like? How do we start to move this thing forward? Someone who has no idea what to do, who has no idea how to help. How do we start getting everyone involved? Like, even just small steps. Like, how do we move this train in the right direction?
It has to be natural.
Yes,
it has to be natural. I don't want everybody to go out there and find the first Black person they see and befriend them and try to like be that change. Not everybody's meant to be friends. Like, don't start there. Like, don't just try to find Black people like, oh my God, we love you. Just publicly denounce racism. Don't allow that in your space. Don't allow that around you, because it starts when we're with our children and wanting to protect them from that. So just publicly denounce that. If you're in the position to hire people, with opportunity comes possibility. And it has to be natural. You can't start right today because we're all stuck in our houses. You know what I mean? So it's not like we can do anything right now, but just to alter your mind and to really consider Black lives and Brown lives and anybody that is different from you. And the best way to do that is with opportunity. An example that I can tell you, when Black women want to go to get products, hair products and stuff for our hair, and we go to a regular grocery store or some superstore, I don't want to call names out, and we walk through the hair section, and we'll see Pantene and Garnier or whatever all of those hair products are that we can't use on our hair, and we get a little shelf for Black hair, like a little shelf. And that is our opportunity. So when I say that, try to create a bigger shelf for Black people. Meaning, you know, try to find, like when you're hiring, hire someone that's Black or Brown, not because you're trying to fill a quota, but because they are the best person for the job. Normalize Black and Brown within your space. The more normalized it is, the less fear that there is, right? And people are acting off of fear.
Yes.
That may not even necessarily be in their hearts. Racism may not actually be in your heart. You're just scared because you're not used to it.
Yes. That's a very, very good point, Nikki.
Yeah.
Fear. It's fear-based. People, when they feel fear, people do terrible things.
I love that, Nikki. I love that. I want to say one of my proudest moments in Nashville happened when Nikki asked me to be a part of her entourage as we stepped in to the Ryman Auditorium. Myself, her husband Grant, and Nikki. And we walk through that backstage, and I'm holding her dress, and I'm just like walking up the steps, and we go to the dressing room, and she's doing her thing in the corner and warming up and getting ready, and I'm just like, this is like the coolest thing ever. And you know, you're looking on the wall, and there's, you know, beautiful old white faces who are legends in country music, and they have, you know, given so much to the genre. And then to go out and sit in the audience and watch her perform What Are You Gonna Tell Her for the first time, and to look around, and Grant and I are some of the only people of color in the audience, and to watch her sing that song, and to just feel like, there is nowhere in the world I would rather be right now than supporting this chick and being a part of her entourage. It was just like, it was one of my proudest moments ever.
You can see Black people, like, we are all the same. Like, we love each other. And to see Black people within a space that there's not a lot of was so powerful. And there needs to be more of that. And again, I keep saying Brown because it's not just Black people.
Totally.
This America is full of everything. And we just want that to be represented in this beautiful genre. Mm. And the more there is, the more Black people will show up, because I've gotten hundreds of messages from Black people saying, I love country music, I'm just scared to go to concerts. And I know that that's not how country musicians feel, that they want them there.
Yeah.
And think of the fiscal opportunities there are when Black people, in addition to all these white people, are in these concerts. That's even more money to be made.
Yeah.
That we're, and I'm not, and I, it's, this is not about capitalizing off of that. Please hear me out. This has nothing to do with that. I'm just trying to show people on a business side.
Yeah.
That, that is what we want, because there's so much opportunities. Like Michael Hobby is soulful as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline. And I know how much he loves Black people.
Oh, yes.
Evidenced by the singers in y'all's band. So we need to see that and show that and be that change.
I mean, that's one of the first times I ever saw that in country. I was working low cash, and I'll never forget, because 1,000 Horses was playing that show down by the river. Was that CMA Fest?
Yeah.
The biggest thing.
Yeah.
And to see those beautiful Black women up there backing up 1,000 Horses, I was like, okay.
Oh.
I mean, but, you know, it's just like, you don't, you know, like you said, what did you say? Opportunity, possibility, and opportunity.
Possibility.
Right. And you don't know it's possible until you see it, right? And so I think about, I hope, I wasn't paying attention, but I hope there was a little Black girl in the audience, like,
I can do that.
I can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I could do that.
Yeah.
Y'all both have made
one thing I wanted to say about, well, you said, you know, what can people do now? One thing that's been coming up in my spirit again and again and again is, I don't want you to do it because Mickey said to do it. I don't want you to do it because Caroline said to do it and you heard it on a podcast. I don't want you to do it because your mama told you to do it. I want you to know that you know in your heart that this is the right thing to do. And if you are reading up on Black history, if you are taking into account some of these books that that Mickey's referenced, we're all human. There's no way you can read about the Black experience and not feel on a human to human level, oh, this is wrong. We do have to end racism. Okay. You know, it's just a very natural progression, you know? And so my biggest thing is, you know, Mickey said it earlier, educate yourself. Just educate yourself. Read it for yourself. Know for yourself. Know in your heart. Know in your, you know, in your mind. I'm no longer accepting. I love my parents. I love my grandparents. But you cannot accept even your grandparents and your parents' knowledge. You have to know for yourself. Mm-hmm. We are adults. It is time for us to act like adults, to learn the information, to get more than one source from the internet, mm-hmm. Read it, you know, read it from a few different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you think about that thing. Maybe ask some of your friends, but like, really, we're at home by ourselves. This is all we got to do. Spend some time thinking about what you think about this.
And Amara, you said last podcast, you said, learn this information like you learn the latest TikTok dance. We learn all sorts of bullshit stuff all the time. Let's take some time and actually learn some information that we need to know.
Right?
And
for real.
I wanted to say, y'all made some great points. Comfort and fear. I feel like that's a lot of the problem is we get in a groove, and right now the world's uncomfortable, and I think it's for good reason. I think it got to a point where things got everyone. You get it's so easy to get into this comfortable life, and I'm especially looking at white people who, like, you think everything's fine, and like, you know, you're not racist and life seems to be fine. There's no disruption really going on. Everyone seems to be happy. Like, this world seems to be moving just fine. When really there's this undercurrent that's just there. And finally, the current has gotten so big that it is now, it's like a monsoon and like it cannot be ignored. But like, I think people get so comfortable in their life that they're like, everything's fine, like,
yeah,
I don't need to worry about anything, it's all fine, and I want to be comfortable. Like, it's so much, feels so much better to be comfortable than have to deal with this disruption of my comfort and my life that I thought was so safe. And And it's just, you know, and that is great that we are all in this place of discomfort right now, because we got to change it. And the only way that things are going to change is when things get shook up and people get uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's
great. I find it to be a blessing. Like, I know there's like some negative that happens when things get disrupted, but for the most part, this is a movement of love and just saying, like, this is not negative. This is not about the rioting. This is not about the violence that's happening out there. This is about the love, and the underlying thing is, this is love. Like, everyone just wants to be loved equally. That's it. Yeah. That's really bottom line.
Yep.
Absolutely. And as much hate as we've been saying, the internet is really good at focusing on all of the bad, but I feel confident that there's absolutely 100% more good than bad.
Yes.
I've seen so many good cops out there.
Yes.
I did a photo shoot the other day, and I wanted to take a picture with cops, and I walked up to them and I asked them, and they were just so excited, first of all, that I wasn't over here hating them.
And
they were also just good people that were just wanting peace too. And we must focus on that. We do have to show that there is bad in the world, because we do need to feel uncomfortable, like you said, Caroline, but we also need to be reminded that there is absolutely still good in this world. It is so essential and important for the world to see the good people in country music. And country music is absolutely a beautiful genre. And that's why I've been pushing on artists to say something, not because I'm like wanting to stir the pot. I'm saying this because people need to see it. People need to see every artist say, I do not stand for that shit in my life. No, you are not allowed. Go back to your cubbyhole, racist. We do not want you here in this genre, because America is a great place. Country music is a great space, and people need to see that.
Yes.
Amen to that.
I concur.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Caroline, I love you. Thank you for having us on here.
I watched a YouTube video. I forgot who was talking, but it was a black man. And he was saying, when slavery ended in America, it's like, okay, you're free. That's it. Now it's like, you're just supposed to catch up. Like, the white communities had all this chance to get so much farther ahead and build our lives and have nothing stacked against
us. American dream.
And now it's like, all to the black men and women, it's like, okay, you're free now, just go catch up. But you don't have the same, you weren't given the same starting point. We weren't at the same, the race didn't begin at the same place. And so it's like, the black culture needs, if we're running a race, he said something like, in like the white people have been like so far ahead, like, we need to give y'all a golf cart or a car and put you in it and speed you up to catch up. You know,
yes.
We all get on the same playing field and get in the race at the same point, because it hasn't started at the same spot. It wasn't an equal starting point. And that's why you're saying, Mickey, like, a lot of the black culture had been in more poverty because it wasn't the same opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's just because things didn't get to start at the same starting point. And we need Black Lives Matter as a chance to, like, let's get this caught up so we're all at the same equal spot. And that's how I'm viewing it, at least.
And that's, and I feel like, and again, I'm not a historian, but I feel like that's why it's not normal for Black people to be seen, because we're still in poverty.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you're able to afford a beautiful home and a beautiful neighborhood. So many of us are not. So we're put in our little cubbyhole. Mm. And deal and live with ourselves. That's why you don't have to see it. Mm. But now we know.
And then property taxes are what funds the schools. And so if there's not as much money in certain neighborhoods, then those schools aren't getting funded equally. Education isn't being offered.
Yeah.
I see how this is systemic now.
This is systemic. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what systemic racism is. It's not... it's not saying that your heart is bad. It's not saying that you hate black people. It's just systemic. It's we're just a part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some of us that are luckier than others. And I was really fortunate to have a father that worked really hard, 10 times as hard of a lot of his peers, to give us an opportunity. Cause my dad didn't have the opportunity growing up. My dad was given the opportunity. Therefore, because he was given the opportunity, I was able to have a good life. But not every Black man is given that opportunity.
Yeah.
And not everybody deserves opportunities. Let's be honest. Like, some people are trifling, but that's not the people we're talking about. We're talking about the people that really want to make a difference.
Right. Right. I love that he said we need to give him a golf cart or something.
Right.
That's why I was so encouraged by the march on Thursday, because the youth, y'all, they are lit. They are bright. They are like, I mean, these white teens were out here like, this is not okay. We will not stand for this. I'm standing next to my Black brothers and sisters, and I will not allow this in my space. It is that simple. I will never forget listening to an Oprah Super Soul conversation where Oprah was talking about a party that she went to at Maya Angelou's house. Would love to have been a fly on the wall at that party. But she said that there was a gentleman who was at the party who was making some off-color comments. And Maya Angelou, in front of the entire party, said, I'm sorry, I don't allow that kind of talk in my house. You're going to have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's what it takes.
Absolutely.
And it's going to continue to be uncomfortable. You know what's going to be really uncomfortable, Caroline? When you're confronting like some of your parents' friends who like might not even realize what they're saying, and you're in a conversation with them and you're just like, that's not okay for you to say. You know what I mean? And then, like, it's going to continue to be awkward and uncomfortable. But I truly think that, you know, I'm with you, Mickey. I'm with you, Caroline. Like, I am so hopeful.
Me too.
I'm so proud of so many people
who
are doing the work right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing the work. And I'm just like,
this conversation.
Yes. So, you know, the action item is just wherever it exists in your sphere.
Be pro-humanity.
Yes.
Period. If we are appalled at seeing animal cruelty, we need to be appalled at seeing human cruelty.
Yes.
Lead with love. Just lead with love in everything we do.
Everything.
And it goes back to the fear thing. Like, in all aspects of life, when people get fearful, they get violent, they get aggressive, they try to protect themselves. Why don't we just try to be the example of leading with love? And I feel like that is what is a lot of people across the world are doing right now, these peaceful protests. It's like, let's lead with love. Like, and if we could lead with love, gosh, the world, what could this world be?
It could be pretty incredible. It's incredible now, and it could be even more incredible. That is for certain.
Yep.
We all maximize our ability to love people instead of be fearful first, but instead assume the best in someone first, instead of assuming the fear first. Like,
yeah.
All walks of life. Like, what a difference that could make.
Absolutely.
I am grateful for both of y'all. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for always using your voice to teach me, to make me want to be better. Y'all both use your platform. Okay. Your gifts in such a beautiful way. I think you're leaders in this country music community.
Absolutely. It's when you're speaking love and when you're speaking truth and love, people can hear you. And that's all we're trying to do.
Yeah. Thanks for your openness.
Yeah.
So I always end every interview with leave your light. And after, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I get nervous having these conversations because I'm scared. Like I've told you in the beginning, I'm going to say it wrong or like say something wrong. And But I appreciate both of y'all walking with me through this and letting me be a part of this conversation with you. But I like to leave all my interviews with Leave Your Light. What do you want people to know? Like, what kind of inspiration do you want people to know? It's just kind of vague, but I always just, what comes to your mind?
With opportunity comes possibility. Sorry, my computer is going crazy.
I know. Is that? I think that's mine. I'm sorry.
No, mine has been kind of crazy too. And to thank you for being open to hearing us. And we hope that people listening to this, I hope you know that we see you and we see your hearts and we are not here to judge or whatever. So if you have any questions for us, you can reach out to us via social media. We may not be able to get to it right away because we do get flooded with a lot of messages, but please feel free to ask us the tough questions and we will answer them in love and will not be angry at you.
Absolutely. I second that 100%. I would say to your listeners to have grace for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Have grace for yourself in the moment of not knowing what to say. Have grace for yourself in the moment of not knowing what to do. Have grace for your Black brothers and sisters, because sometimes they might want to talk about it and sometimes they might not, and that's okay too. But keep asking the questions and keep showing up. We gonna be all right. Come on. We gonna be all right. Go listen to Kendrick Lamar.
I love you both so much, and I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with me, and it means a lot.
We love you, sis.
Love you.